Welcome to the Better Wellbeing podcast series, brought to you by Legal & General Group Protection. I'm Suzanne Clarkson, an internal communication expert and founder of Coach House Communications. In this episode, I'm going to look once again at wellbeing through an internal communication lens, this time at how small to medium-sized organisations, or SMEs, are looking for help with getting more joined up and effective in their wellbeing thinking so that value for both people and business can be realised. This episode is all about making wellbeing more meaningful and measurable by putting culture at its core. This is about looking at the foundations, the underlying contributors to wellbeing, the things that internal communications can help with, like creating connections, building communities, shifting mindsets and behaviours, and creating the conditions for a positive company culture, one that's hardwired to business strategy. I looked at aspects of this in episodes 1 and 2 when I talked about storytelling and leadership communication. It's on solid foundations like this that all the employee benefits, wellbeing services, and initiatives that many organisations have in place stand a much better chance of being valued by employees and valuable to the business. As part of this episode, I'm also going to draw on a couple of anecdotes from Sam Walton, who started out by opening five and dime stores in small town America and went on to build the Walmart empire. He put his success entirely down to culture, but more on that in a moment. First, a look at what SMEs have to say. Legal & General Group Protection asked SME employers as part of its latest Wellbeing at Work barometer, where would you most like help from the employee benefits industry? Measuring value came out top. Whether it's the value of employee benefits or of wellbeing initiatives, small companies in the UK, those with anything between 10 to 49 employees, want help with it. Measuring value is also really important to those with 50 employees or more, coming just behind help to design an integrated wellbeing programme. Value, design, integration, all these words suggest the need for something more meaningful, as opposed to a collection of sometimes quite disparate wellbeing related things. And to create meaning in something, you need to frame it, you need to give it context and purpose. So Legal & General's research also asked SMEs what would help them better integrate employee benefits with wellbeing strategy. And the top answer across all sizes of SME, from 10 to 250 or more employees, was communication. Communication can help organisations create that context and purpose, the meaning, ensuring it's aligned with business strategy and baked into the very fabric of the workplace, the culture, in other words. Traditionally, communication about employee benefits sat apart from other wellbeing-related comms in an organisation, things like Awareness Day initiatives and mental health first aider training. But there seems a growing realisation now that everything has to come together and work as one in order to give wellbeing a prevention and everyday support focus, not just a fix-it-when-it-goes-wrong focus. There was a time, and arguably still is in some quarters, where mental health support was all about helping employees become more resilient, helping them be all full metal jacket. But it's now widely realised that it shouldn't be about helping employees cope with an environment that's at odds with their health. Instead, it should be about taking a forensic look at that environment and the underlying causes of mental health and wellbeing issues. There are various factors behind this shift in thinking that I won't delve into too much here. Suffice to say, it's got a lot to do with the demise of the job for life, the final salary pension, and paternalistic leadership, where loyalty was rewarded with security. This has been replaced with the rise of a kind of loyalty on loan relationship, where people feel responsible for their own destiny, their own security, and effectively loan out their loyalty skills and knowledge, for as long as they feel the organisation is helping them bring their best selves to work. This new deal, where employees largely hold all the cards, means they're not big on the traditional command and control style workplace, the type of workplace that was associated with loyalty for security, where people are told what to do, when and how. In a loyalty on loan world, they want a more trust-based arrangement that supports them to do the best for themselves and the organisation, with a little direction, but lots of room for freedom of thought and responsibility. It's this trust, control and autonomy that's a big contributor to employee wellbeing. And in turn, employee wellbeing has the power and potential to become a big contributor to business success. And in a world where products and services can be replicated by competitors with relative ease, it's an organization's employees that represent the competitive differentiator. We saw this during the pandemic when a tiny virus brought the world to its knees. So there's a big business case for focusing on well-being too, for well-being that's meaningful and measurable with culture at its core. You might have heard the saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast. This came from legendary management consultant Peter Drucker almost 2 decades ago now, but it seems more relevant than ever. And it's entirely relevant here. We learned at the start that SMEs want help to improve the value, design and integration of well-being strategy, and the fact that communication is considered key to this. And I've gone through the reason why there's a need to shift thinking, to look at the foundations of well-being, the culture. So for the remaining few minutes of this podcast, I'm going to attempt to focus on culture, the role of internal communication, and Sam Walton's thoughts on all this. I say attempt to focus on culture because it's a bit of a slippery customer. It's not something that can be nailed in a 5 top tips style article, that's for sure. But I think it's worth a quick look at what culture is because there are countless different definitions and it's easy to get lost. Academics have been wrangling over this for years. There are broadly 2 main camps, though. Those that think that culture can be deliberately created, and those that think it just is. It's something that just happens. After studying this area, and in true diplomatic fashion, I'd argue it's a combination of both. There are aspects you can deliberately design and influence, such as what the workplace looks like inside and out, the brand look and feel, the ideals, goals and values played out in expected behaviours and management practices, and the stories that are told inside and out, all of which must ideally reflect the organisation's purpose, the why it exists. Then there are the aspects you can't control, such as the fact that employees come from their own, often very different cultures outside of work, shaped by family, by ethnicity, by gender, religion and so on. We all come with our own inbuilt beliefs, morals, values, habits and customs. All of that doesn't just get left at the door of the workplace. It shapes the way we make sense of our work and the work environment. And that making sense bit can look quite different from one employee to the next, no matter how much you try to tell the workforce, this is the culture and this is what it's designed to make you know, think, feel and do. So please align. All of this doesn't mean you're on a hiding to nothing if you try to design and influence culture. You should absolutely do this. It just means you have to be aware that just because you say it doesn't mean everyone will do it. And that's where internal communications really comes into its own, helping organisations connect in different ways with different people. Legal and General Group Protection's HR Communication Toolkit provides a step-by-step guide on personalising messages and channels to help as part of this. Importantly, internal communication effectively is culture. It's all about changing attitudes and opinions, building commitment and changing behaviour. So, where do you start trying to design and implement culture? Firstly, ensure the organisation's purpose is fit for the future. A lot has changed over recent years for everyone, and your organisation's reason for being, the why, might need a revisit. Bear in mind that everything I've talked about here, everything around making well-being more meaningful and measurable by putting culture at its core, this was already happening pre-pandemic, but it's been accelerated massively over the last couple of years. Secondly, look at whether that purpose is reflected in all those aspects that you have some control over. The things I just mentioned, like the look and feel of the work environment, the work design, management practices, the brand, the ideals, goals and values, and the stories people tell. Thirdly, it's important to understand that culture is created through behaviour and it starts at the top. Role modelling the type of behaviours aligned with the organisation's purpose must start with leaders. And it's not just about what's said, but also about body language. This is about genuinely coming across as being open to contribution, challenge, disagreement, even when it comes to the big things like strategic direction. People are much more likely to buy into business strategy and put their weight behind it when they've been invited to influence the goal. It's all about having open and honest discussions, inviting feedback, also reframing the role of failure in terms of it happens and it allows for continued learning and improvement. Finally, and as a kind of add-on to that point, leaders need to recognise that they're a voice around the table, but not the voice. This is a tricky one as it harks back to that traditional loyalty for security, command and control style leadership, where leaders see it as their role and responsibility to make all the decisions. And while they do need to be the decision makers, they also need to listen honestly to employees, respecting opinions and taking them into account as part of that decision making. This should be done via ongoing informal as well as formal conversations and not just the annual employee engagement survey. All of this is about internal communication, and ultimately, it's all about creating the conditions for trust. So, finally, what does Sam Walton have to do with all this? Well, I don't usually like autobiographies, I have to be honest, but I was interested to read this one. It details how the Walton culture was absolutely key to Walmart's success, so he was arguably a man ahead of his time. One of the cultural things he describes is the Saturday morning meeting, where absolutely all of their execs, managers and associates, that's the Walmart term for employees, would gather together every single Saturday morning across all their stores at 7:30 a.m. to talk about business. The purpose of this meeting was to let everyone know what the rest of the company was up to. It was also, and crucially, about connecting with each other, building trust and motivation. In these meetings, they celebrated heroes among their employees in front of everyone to heap praise on them. It was also a place for anyone at whatever level to bring any business problem out in the open and come up with solutions as a team, and to discuss the organisation's weaknesses, where they weren't doing well, where they should be and why. Sometimes they'd read from management articles that were relevant to their industry and discuss them. They'd talk about competitors and how they might compete with new entrants. They discussed trying new things and how to make them work. And key to all of this was a big injection of fun and often the unpredictable. Sometimes they'd all do a few exercises, or they might sing or do a cheer for the local sports team, or on one occasion, surprise the president with a gift of a live pig. They'd have lots of guests at these meetings, and no one would ever know who was going to turn up, from other business leaders to athletes and comedians, some of them motivational speakers. Now, I'm not saying that all of this is transferable, of course, but going back to what I was saying earlier about creating cultures, these Saturday meetings were covering a heck of a lot of ground. In these, they were building trust through having conversations at all levels and demonstrating humility and respect. They were inviting and celebrating contribution, challenge, and feedback. They were sharing strategic thinking, even shaping it together in real time. And by doing so, helping employees buy into it and turn strategy into action. They were listening to employees and taking their ideas and opinions into account as part of decision making, and they were reframing failure as something normal, healthy, and part of continued learning. All of this was shaped by the organisation's purpose, which is, and always has been, save money, live better. Reflecting the ideals of Sam Walton, when he started out with the view that people in rural America weren't well served for supplies and didn't have much money. In one section of his autobiography, where he reflects on taking the company public and discusses Wall Street analysts, stock prices and projections, he adds, and I quote, "What's really worried me over the years is not our stock price, but that our managers might fail to motivate and take care of our associates. That we might lose the team concept or fail to keep the family concept viable and realistic and meaningful to our folks as we grow. These challenges are more real than somebody's theory, then we're headed down the wrong path." I think this helps paint a really neat picture of culture in action, and aspects of it are relevant whatever the size of organisation. It's obviously not something that can be achieved overnight or packaged up and sold off the shelf, but making well-being more meaningful and measurable by putting culture at its core is something that SMEs and their third-party suppliers could and should absolutely be mindful of when looking to make well-being programs more valued and valuable. For a chance to win a day's internal communication consultancy, including follow-up actions and recommendations, Enter our competition now. The competition is open to SMEs employing 50 to 250 employees. For more information, go to legalandgeneral.com/betterwellbeingcompetition.